Ezekiel chapter 37. Last week we were in Ezekiel chapter 36, and we talked about last week, we primarily took it out of verse number 26, out of Ezekiel 36, and it talks about a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And we talked about how we need to have a heart that can be touched, and a heart of flesh, a heart that can be touched by the things that we see. And we talked about different things about that last week. This week, chapter number 37, this is probably one of the most well-known stories in the book of Ezekiel. Pastor has preached out of it. He's wrote a book out of it. And so we're going to look at this morning, or maybe we may be here for 2 weeks. But we're going to start in chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to read this story of the vision of the valley of dry bones. Starting verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Let's pray this morning, and we'll study this some. Father, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, I need your help this morning. I need the clarity of thought as we study this, as we look at the vision of Ezekiel. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you touch our hearts, touch my heart, Lord. Sometimes we get so cold, we get so callous. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to see what you want me to see. And God, I pray that you just bless us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help those who aren't able to be with us. Lord, I know there's some that are sick, some that are just not able to be here because of health issues. And God, I pray that you'd bless them. Thank you for those that are faithful, those that come every service. You can count on them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I know it's not easy for them sometimes, and I pray that you'd bless them, help them. I pray that you guide the services today. I pray above all, Lord, that you would receive the glory and honor for everything that's done, everything that's said. In Jesus' name, amen. I have kind of an overactive imagination anyway. And when you read this story, it's a really pretty neat story, okay? God takes Ezekiel and he carries him in the spirit of the Lord, and he sets him in the midst of a valley which is full of bones. Now, if you think about that time, okay, you would have pitched battles of, and you read about some of the battles that were in the Bible. Now, I know this is a vision, okay? This is something that Ezekiel sees here, but you think about what Ezekiel, it's like he went to this battlefield where, 100,000 men died, which was not uncommon back then, huge quantities of men to die. You read about some of the things that, how many people God killed in some of these situations. And so you can kind of almost see this valley that's full of, now these are bones, so these have been there for a while. These have been dead for a while. Now obviously they didn't go and they didn't bury everything, but the vultures and the scavengers, they've picked the bones clean. So you've got this valley full of bones. And I think it's probably a very ominous, you're standing in this valley of dry bones, and it's a very, I don't think there's noise, okay? It's a very quiet, very almost scary, spooky place. And Ezekiel's here, and so God sets him in this valley, and he causes him to pass by and to pass through. So He says, not only are you going to be here, but I want you to walk through them. Okay, so Ezekiel starts taking his walk. And, you know, as he looks at them, a lot of times there's not much differential. You know, it's, you know, our flesh is what gives us characteristic. Okay, so he's looking at this bones and, you know, he don't know which bone goes to which body. He doesn't know which head goes to which skeleton. He doesn't know any of this. He just sees a lot of bones, all right? And God says, I want you to pass through them, all right? So Ezekiel has to pass through in verse number 2, and he makes some observations, okay? And verse number 2, it says, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So these were very dead people, okay? Very dead bones, very dead people. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I love Ezekiel's answer because, you know, at this point in Ezekiel's life, you think, Brother Chad, this is probably the weirdest thing that has happened to Ezekiel. Well, we've already looked at a lot of weird things that have happened to Ezekiel and a lot of weird things that God has asked Ezekiel to do and to go through. So I think for Ezekiel at this point in his life, he's like, yeah, but, I mean, after all I've seen, okay, yes, Lord, you know, all right? Because I don't think there's a whole lot of doubt because Ezekiel's seen a lot of things up to this point. So Ezekiel said, O Lord, God, thou knowest, all right? And there is an element of faith here that Ezekiel says, God, from human standpoint, this is an impossible situation. Impossible, absolutely impossible. You cannot make these bones alive. But O Lord, you know. And I think Ezekiel, in kind of a spirit of anticipation, is standing there and he's like, all right, let's see what's going to happen now, okay? And I'm going to give you kind of the rundown of the story, and then we're going to go back and look at the beginning. And again, verse number 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And so he tells Ezekiel, all right, so we have a lot of dry bones. He says, I want you to start preaching to these bones. Now, this is probably one of the oddest congregations that Ezekiel has ever preached to, okay? I think probably pastor sometimes, he feels like he's preaching to, you know, not necessarily here. We've been blessed here with a congregation that responds. But I've been in churches where I think the pastor probably felt like he was preaching to dry bones. You know, everybody's just kind of looking at him. And I've been in church services like that. And, you know, on a side note, you know, wouldn't it be much more pleasant to preach to people that are, you know, when you say something funny, the people laugh. And when you say, you know, something sad, the people cry. And when you say something good, the people say amen. I mean, wouldn't that be better than, you know, you're preaching to dead bones. And you think everything that you're saying, none of it is applicable, none of it is applied, you know, because they're dead. Well, I think as Christians, we need to be an encouragement to our pastor as he preaches and help him out. But Bible says, O ye dry bones. So he's talking to the bones, obviously. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith, verse number 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now you talk about a spooky situation, okay? God says, all right, Ezekiel, you know, he already has a small element of faith. You preach to these bones, all right? And Ezekiel says, all right, God, I'm preaching. So he starts out verse number 4. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And then the bones, all right? So there starts a noise, this rumbling, all these bones rattling together, okay? Now, I don't know the situation. You know, obviously there was a lot of bones in one area for a reason, okay? So they either died because of a disease, all right, or they died because of battle, okay? So I don't know why there's a valley of dry bones, but they're, if you think about, okay, they're dead for a reason. So you've got all these bones, and if, you know, I've seen animals picked apart in the woods, okay? Now, if you find a deer skeleton in the woods, Brother Val, okay, typically it's not all together, okay? I mean, you've got the head over here. I mean, you may find bones scattered everywhere. So if all these bones have been picked through with carrion or from scavengers, wouldn't it stand to reason that, you know, whole skeletons aren't probably laying together, all right? Kind of stands to reason to me. Well, maybe this is just my overactive imagination again. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm seeing bones, like, moving across the ground, coming towards each other. You know, and they're, like, popping into sockets. And, you know, you start seeing these skeletons start forming. Now, that's weird to me, okay? And I don't like Halloween. I don't like any of that stuff. But when you got a pile of bones and they all start coming together and start rebuilding skeletal functions, that's eerie. All right, so you've got Ezekiel standing here, and he's seeing this. But not only do the bones come together, the flesh starts coming back onto these bones. Okay, that's what the Bible says. The sinews start coming together. So you got the bones come together. Then the sinews, verse number 6, I will lay sinews upon you, will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. So the skeletons came together complete, all right? It was every one was an individual. It wasn't a mismatch. You know, you didn't have this 10-foot, you know, or 10-foot, probably wouldn't be 10-footer people, but you didn't have a, you know, a 6'3 guy's arm going to a 5'4 guy's body, okay? It would be a little disproportioned, all right? So it all came together the way it was supposed to come together. And that's the way God does things. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew, so he's preached his message, which is, what, two verses? Verse number 5 and verse number 6. That's the message that he preached. And because of that, verse number 7, bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So at this point, you've got all these bones that have come together into complete skeletons. You've got all the sinews that make these bones work come onto the body, then the flesh, then the skin. So you've got basically people. Now, I don't know if they were standing at this point or if they were still laying on the ground. I don't know. That Bible really doesn't tell us, okay? I kind of like to think that they were standing up. Now, I don't know that for sure, all right? But that's kind of my thought. So you've got basically these skeletons with flesh, but they're not alive, which is really weird, okay? And so you got all these people, maybe they're laying down, I don't know. Maybe they're standing up. But if you can envision this, you got this valley. This huge valley, an open valley, the Bible says, and you've got all these people standing there, but there is no life in them, okay? And this world, they've got this fascination with this death and this zombie thing, okay? You wanna see somebody that's dead but alive? Okay, Ezekiel had a firsthand view of what this was. Now, I don't think this was something to be fascinated with. I think this was something very creepy. Because you know who gives life? Okay? God gives life. We talked about this before. You know who brings death? Who is the author, if you would, of death? All right? It's not God. God brings life. The devil and sin brings death. Death comes as a result of sin. So you've got basically these dead people, corpses, all right, cadavers standing there or lying there. And then he said unto me, verse number 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. Okay, there we go again, slain. They were killed somehow, all right, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Well, I guess they were laying down then, because it says they stood up on their feet. So, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. An exceeding great army. So they were laying down, the breath came into them, they stood up, an exceeding great army. Now, we're going to go back to the beginning of this, and we're going to talk about, this kind of ties into what we talked about last week, verse number 26 of chapter number 36, where we talked about God gives a new heart. and something how you see things and the way God touches your heart by the things that you see. So let's go to verse number 1 of chapter 37, verse number 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37. The Bible says, and I want to talk about this morning, what do you see? What do you see? And because Ezekiel had to start out someplace, okay? Ezekiel had to be someplace. And what I want to challenge you this morning is, many times, like I talked about last week, we go through life and we don't see what God has for us to see. And this really ties into what we taught about last week. But you know, God has a desire for us to impact other people, okay? But it all comes first with what we see, all right? And I want to talk about that some this morning. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." Now, we're going to stop there. "The hand of the Lord was upon me," let's go to the next phrase, "and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord." You know, for a Christian to be able to see what God wants us to see, you got to have a good relationship with God, okay? If I don't have a good relationship with God, I'm not going to be able to see what God wants me to see, okay? I got to be spirit-led. You know, Ezekiel here was spirit-led, okay? And if I've got all this junk in my life, I can't see a young person that needs help, okay? I can't see a bus kid that needs some help. I can't see a church member that needs help. Because what happens is we get blinded. And I talked about that last week. We get blinded because of all the things of life. And we can't see what God has for us to see. And so we need to see, we need to be spirit-led. And if we're going to be spirit-led, we have to be empty of ourselves. All right? So he was carried out in the spirit of the Lord. You know, if you're gonna help people the way a Christian needs to help people, we can't be carnally minded. You know, if you can't read your Bible, you're not going to be a spiritual help to people. If we can't pray and have a close walk with God, if I can't, and I'm just going to use because of my situation, if I can't pray and have a communion with God, how can I ask a young person to have a close walk with God? If I can't read my Bible and have a devotions with God myself, how can I do that for the young people? If I can't do it for myself, how do I do it for my kids? Okay? I can't in good conscience ask my kids to do something that I'm not willing to do. Okay? And so it's not fair to the next generation. You know, we've got a lot of young people here, and we are blessed to have that. But how are we going to reach them if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing? Okay? And we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to have a vision. Verse number 1, "and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." So Ezekiel notices some things here, okay? And let me just challenge you, be the person that notices things, okay? Be a person that notices things. Be a person that notices among the Sunday school class. When somebody's, you know, not their normal self, notice that. You know, a lot of times you can go up to somebody, and it's amazing how much of encouragement it is if you can go up to somebody and say, "Hey, are you doing okay? You just didn't seem yourself today." Well, you know what that tells that person? I care enough to notice. I care enough to notice. Okay, and if you're not noticing, you're not caring. All right, if we just come, and I'm terrible about this, and I'll be the first to admit it. You come on Sunday and you've got all these different things that, you know, I got to see this person to take care of this. I got to take care of this ministry. I got to do all this stuff. And if we're not careful, we go through everything and we don't see anybody. Yeah, we see them, but we don't really see what God has. You know, God sent Ezekiel here and he said, "All right, here's a valley." All right? And we can come to church and say, "All right, here's a valley. What's in this valley?" All right? We can go to the Sunday school classes that's meeting right below us, okay? That's Brother Levi, Miss Christina. I mean, you've got fourth graders down here, you've got first graders right back there. We've got all these classes that are right underneath of us. And we can go down there and you can sit in the class and you can judge, well, they're, that's a, you know, they got a bad attitude. Well, probably. Okay? Or we can say, well, that's a dry bone, which it is. It's lifeless. Okay? Dry bones are very, you know, Ezekiel said these are very dry bones. Not just dry, they're very dry. And there's some young people that are very dry. Okay? But then God brings the question to mind. He asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Okay? And as somebody that works with other people, you have to be able to say, all right, is there potential here? And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Flip over there. Most of you know what this verse says. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, vision is huge. I don't know what percentage of a successful endeavor is vision and what percentage of it is work. Okay, for instance, none of us in here, quite honestly, including myself, ever would have come up with Operation Occupation. We wouldn't have come up with it. Partly because we don't have the hand of God on us like Pastor has on him. Okay? I'm just saying that. Okay? There's a special anointing that comes when you're that in that position. And I believe that 100%. So, and also, you know, none of us have the time or, you know, the burden to do what Pastor has done with that, okay? And so none of us really have that in our hearts. But, you know, Pastor has that, you know, he's got the ability to do that, all right? And he's got the vision to do that. So, yeah, there is a lot of work involved. But if there is no vision to do this, the work never follows. Does that make sense? If there is no blueprint, or if there is no, you know, I'm still in the process of getting my shop and everything done at my house, okay? So I've got this thing in my mind. Right now, I'm in the process. I've got the shop built, okay? And I've had, for years, I've had in my mind what I want in my shop, okay? I think it's kind of like a woman with her house, okay? You've got the colors that you want. I don't really have colors. I don't care about colors. But I have outlets, you know, I have a welding outlet, and it needs to be in a certain spot. And I have certain places. I've got a whole corner for welding and metal fabrication. I've got a whole corner for woodworking. It's probably 200 square foot, a little over, 250 square foot butcher shop, a full-fledged butcher shop in my shop, okay? I'm building a walk-in cooler, okay, that I can hang. I can probably hang 4 or 5 cows in my walk-in cooler, okay? Where does that all, why are you doing that right now? Because years ago I had a thought that, man, this would be really nice to have. You know, because I've always killed deer early in the season and I have never been able to do anything. You got to butcher them right away because of the heat. Well, now I've got something I can do it with. And where does that come from? All right. Well, a lot of it, we know where all that starts is way back here at a vision. You know where this church building came from was a vision. Okay. And then you can put feet to your vision, but you still have to have a vision. All right. I'm building a boiler right now, a wood boiler. I've always got these weird projects, but I'm building a wood boiler and I've got this, you know, Brother Chad, do you have a blueprint? No, I've just got a really big metal tank sitting in my shop. Okay. And it kind of, but I've got an idea of what I want. And then I can put my idea to my hands and I can build something. Okay? You know, Pastor has an idea. And then we can put the Bible says in Habakkuk, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but it says, tell the vision to him that runneth. Okay? And I know I paraphrased that, but it basically says, you know, you need to give your vision to the people that are running. You know what Pastor does up here? These days of soul winning and prayer, you know what that is? It's a vision. And he's given it to us and it's our job to run with it, okay? And for our young people, you have to have, I want a vision for what our young people can do. But first, you got to see them as they are. And you know what Ezekiel saw here? He saw a valley of dry bones, lifeless, dead, okay? And that's what Ezekiel saw. So he sees where the bones are. And that's an important part. You know, to help a young person, you have to be able to see where they're at, okay? Now, you're not, we've taken this word judging, and I hate what we've done with this word judging. Everybody says, well, don't judge me. Listen, you judged, everybody judges everybody. Get over it, okay? You judged me when, if I, my tie's crooked and I get up here this morning, you all, every one of you judged me this morning. Okay, do I cry about it? No. All right, I'm judging you. Brother Chad. Yeah, I am. Everybody judges everybody, so get over it, okay? Well, don't judge me. Oh, my goodness. All right, quit wearing your stinking feelings on your shoulder, all right? Because everybody does. You see somebody in Walmart, and you judge that person. And you know what? They see you and they judge you. So it's all equal. Just get over the whole judging thing. All right? So all that said, all right, you need to look at somebody without judging them. Okay? Now what I mean by that, I don't think the word judge is as appropriate as the word condemn. Okay? Because we all judge people. But I don't think we should ever condemn people. Okay, there's a big difference there. All right, when I look at somebody that's dressed like a homosexual, okay, I judge them. Brother Chad, that's taboo in today's society. You do too. Okay, if I see some guy walking around, you know, walking through Walmart with some kind of flaky hairdo and wearing skinny jeans, okay, I'm sorry, but I judge that person. And you know what? I judge them. Okay, he is not a man's man. And you do too, okay? He's sissy, all right? Brother Chad, you shouldn't judge people. Didn't we just go over this about judging people? Okay, but you know, I see another person. Now, do I condemn him? No. Because you know, honestly, he's probably never had a daddy that's taught him any different. And he probably needs to be saved. And he probably needs to be taught correctly. I'm not going to condemn him. You know what condemning means? Just means to throw away. You know what Ezekiel could have done here? All right? Well, he called them dry bones. A revelation. That is what they were. Okay? Now, if I say somebody is a sissy, chances are that is what they are. Okay, I'm not judging them. I'm just stating a fact, okay? But I don't condemn them. You know what I try to do? Okay, do we always, all right, Brother Chad, what do you do with a young person that's not where they should be? All right, you know what condemnation basically means is you're throwing that out. Well, I see no use here. And Ezekiel could have been like, well, these are dry bones, God, you know, what? There's nothing we can do. They're dead. But you know what Ezekiel said? Ezekiel said, oh Lord, thou knowest. All right? Now listen, I'll go back to that, you know, situation. You know what we can do? Instead of just throwing somebody out, why don't we help them become what they need to be? Instead of just throwing them out and saying, well, there's no, you know, I'm judging them. All right, there again. The whole judging thing. All right? You judge me, I judge you. You judge everybody. That's, I don't know. Well, what about that verse, Brother Chad? Judge not that ye be not judged. Okay, so I'm just going to go through life and just ignore everything. No, Ezekiel went through here and he saw a valley of dry bones, and what did he call them? Oh, ye dry bones. Okay, if you never tell somebody what they are, how are they ever going to recognize what they are? I've told young men, and you, Brother Tom, you've told young men before. Okay, probably me at some point when I was working for you. I was like, come on, you need to quit being lazy. Brother Chad, you told that to somebody? Yeah. You know why I told that to them? Because they were being lazy. Okay? Well, Brother Chad, that's just you're squelching their self-confidence. Oh, okay. No, I'm helping them recognize a problem. Until they recognize there's a problem, you know, until you recognize that you're a sinner, well, Brother Chad, you can't say that because you're judging people. Hey, I'm a sinner too. Okay? Everyone's a sinner. And you know what God says? For all have sinned. You know what that's called? Judging. All right? I don't know how I got off on this judging thing, but God judges people. And he says, you're a sinner. And that's what I am. And until somebody recognizes they're a sinner, they can't recognize their need of salvation, and they can't recognize that they can be saved until they recognize they're a sinner. Okay? And I can't recognize, you know, if I'm lazy, I can't recognize I'm lazy until somebody says, you're lazy. That makes sense? So the dry bones, Ezekiel said, all right, here's a valley of dry bones. They're very dry. He said, this is what they are. All right? And then here's an important part. So let's say we've got young people that are dry bones. Or you see me and I'm a dry bone. Well, okay, if I can recognize I'm a dry bone, that's one of the biggest things. So I got to see what the vision. It's a vision. What do you see when you see a young person? Do you just, well, write them off as they'll never do anything? Hey, there's a young man down there in that end room right now that most people would have written off 7-8 years ago as a dry bone. Oh, you can't control him. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but because a few bus workers and a few other people said, well, okay, there's a dry bone, but you know what? There's some potential here. He's sitting there, and he's wearing a shirt and tie this morning. All right? He comes and shook my hand this morning. All right, what happens? Well, if we're not careful, we just condemn. We condemn it as a dry bone. Now, let me go through this real quick. So you got to have a vision. You got to have a vision of what they are. You got to have a vision of what your kids actually. I got to be honest. I don't want to wear rose-colored glasses with my kids. Okay? If my kids, and listen, my kids have shortcomings. My kids are the same as everybody else's kids. Okay? I know I'm an assistant whatever here to do whatever, but my kids are just as heathen as anybody else's. Okay? And you got to recognize that. All right? I think sometimes people get, well, you know, that's Brother Chad's. They should do better. They're at work too. My daughter was goofing off up here the other day. Okay? During church. And you know, when they prayed, I come up here and I got her, and it was not a pleasant experience when we got home that night. And she's been sitting with me for the last 2 weeks. Okay? I don't want to have rose-colored glasses with my kids. Okay? I have to recognize when there's an error and I have to fix it. Okay? Because that's my responsibility. That's not my church family's responsibility. That's daddy's responsibility. Okay, if they're good, I don't mind them sitting with some friends or sitting with some, you know, especially the older teenage girls that are doing what's right, that's fine. But if they're goofing off, that's daddy's responsibility. And I got to fix it. Well, you're just I'm not judging her. Yes, I am. And I'm condemning it too, bless God. Yeah, she felt that one that night. But not only do you have to know where they are, but you also, here's the second part of the vision, you have to have a vision of where they could be. Not just a vision of where they are, you have to have a vision of where they could be. God asked Ezekiel in verse number 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And sometimes I'm that way with my kids. It's like, Lord, are they ever going to do what's right? Like, Lord, you know, I'm trying. We are little heathens sometimes. But, you know, I got to have a vision. Okay, yeah, we've got maybe a young person that's not doing what's right. So we got to recognize the fact that they're not doing what's right. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses. If they got a rotten attitude, okay, we're going to try to fix their rotten attitude. If they have a bad relationship with their mom and dad, we're going to try to fix that. I'm not wearing rose-colored glasses. I'm going to call sin, sin, all right? But I also have to recognize, okay, yeah, but what could they be? What if David, remember when David was hid in the cave of Adullam? What if David, what came to David? 400 men that were riffraff. And David could have been like, well, sorry, Benaiah, but, you owe a bunch of money. I can't use you. Do you know who Benaiah turned out to be? I'm a big fan of Benaiah, okay? I've preached about him. He's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. Benaiah in the Bible was like a professional. He was professional everything. He professional bodyguard, professional hitman. I mean, you name it, this guy did it. He was completely loyal, all right? But what if he would have turned him away back here at the cave, said, I can't use you? What if Jesus would have said, well, I'm sorry, Matthew, but because you're a tax collector, I can't use you. Peter, I'm sorry, but because your lifestyle is a fisherman, I can't use you. No, they didn't do that, all right? And so we got to recognize, when Jesus saw Matthew, he saw somebody. When Jesus saw Peter, he didn't see a fisherman, he saw Pentecost, okay? When Jesus saw John, he didn't see a fisherman, he saw the revelator. And so it's about what are you actually seeing, all right? And we're going to have to close, and we'll continue this. When Nehemiah, I had this written down, when Nehemiah arrived at Jerusalem, he could have just looked at the rubbish, but he didn't see the rubbish. He saw the rubbish that had to be cleaned up, but more importantly, he saw the walls that could be built. What are you looking at? And how is it affecting your heart? Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd help us, Lord. Didn't get to everything covered today that I wanted to, but Lord, I pray that you just bless us, help us have the right vision, help us to see things the way you would have us to see them. In Jesus' name, amen.